guys. Yesterday was very inspiring. I really, really enjoyed myself yesterday seeing the talent show. I gotta say, there's a lot of talent in the church.
Yes.
There is so much talent. And as I walked away from there yesterday from the talent show, the thing that went through my mind was, I pray, you know, the collective talent of our singles.
Yes.
That God will channel that, do you understand, into something that will shape the United Kingdom upside down. Because, I'm a married guy, I still got a kind of family. This is awesome. This is awesome. You know, all the way, from where's the brother, the brother doing one of the last shows yesterday.
Huh?
Doggy, we the show there, and, we see Daniel on the lady singing the song right there. And then, and then there's Jemé. I don't know what Jemé was up to. I don't know what he took. That's what I'm saying. I'm kind of thinking, man, Jesus, lay hands on this man. I said, what is that? You understand? It's great to see, all of the skits, the Brummy lesson about the accents. I said, man, this is great. One thing I said was more, it would be good to reproduce that in London during the conference. To find a place, find an evening, make it evangelistic, because isn't that what it's all about?
Yeah.
Make it evangelistic and just have a great time with your friends, because there's a lot of talent. Do you understand? And today, we are not X Factor rejects, we are disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen to that. Amen to that. Amen. Amen. All right. Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Secrets of the Kingdom. I'm going to use this to kind of introduce my lesson, but it's going to be very, very practical to help all of us. Now, let me just see a show of hands, okay? How many of us in this room lead already? Okay. All right? And how many of us desire to lead? Okay, that's the rest of us. Okay, that's all of us. That's not petroleum science, right? See what I'm saying right here. Amen. I really pray that what I have to say, maybe some of you would have heard me say some of these things, but for me personally, as a leader, the bread and butter of any ministry where you are is converting people, absolutely, isn't that right? Teaching people to obey the heart of a leader, but also raising leaders. I love raising leaders. It is the bread and it is the butter of the ministry. It really is. It's not just about baptizing. Because you can baptize 1,000, if you don't raise leaders, who will take care of them? And then you end up with a nursery.
Right.
Changing diapers here and there. So all the time, what I'm saying? You've got to keep on raising leaders all of the time. I tell you, churning it on out there. And if we're going to evangelize the United Kingdom, people are always going to be raising up.
Yeah.
You understand? In the Bible, in Acts, there was a problem with leadership. Now those guys said, let's devote our time to the prayer and ministry of the word. In Matthew 13, the Bible reads right here. Let's get into it right here. In verse 10, it says right here, the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Who was them? Them was the crowds. There was those people who were around that, they just couldn't really understand, isn't that right, what Jesus was talking about. And most of the time, we're just in a parable. He called his guys to ask questions. Jesus, why couldn't we drive? And just pulls them in. And he gives them what? The secrets of the kingdom. Brothers and sisters, we're in a very privileged position right here. A very privileged position. And I think, when we talk about the secrets of the kingdom, we think about salvation. The world is messed up with it. We think about the lives that we have. We think about our doctrine. We have so much going for us. There are a lot of people out there, no matter how much you teach them, it hits a rock. It's bouncing back on them. We have got a lot going for us. It says right here. Let me move on. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You'll be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's house has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn, and I will heal them. You know, brothers and sisters, you know, one of the things is that I pray today that God will give us a humility and a depth of insight, seeing eyes in our hearts, you understand, that we can hear things, see things, and be the leaders of God that we need to be. Everything begins with our hearts. It begins and ends with our hearts. And I think how we hear is very, very important. How we hear is very, very important this morning as leaders. Now, I've been in discipleship now for over 25 years. And I've had my moments. Is it 25 years? This year, oh yeah, we're now 2011. So this year is going to be 26 years I've been a disciple.
Wow.
And I've got to tell you, even now, you understand, as a mature man, I still ask questions because I want to know. That's why, you know, the more questions you ask, the quicker you grow. The more questions you ask, the quicker you grow. Do you understand? You know, look at in 13 verse 9. He who has ears, let him hear. Isn't that what it says? You know, verse 13, the same thing again. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. You know, verse 15, you understand, for these people's hearts has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, isn't that right? And have closed their eyes. You know, verse 16, but blessed are you and your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Brothers and sisters, eyes and ears, isn't that right? You want to be a leader, eyes and ears. If you could just have that down, because sometimes we can get tired of learning our rash. Pride is the biggest enemy of raising leaders.
Yeah.
Pride. You know, as a young disciple, I was very prideful. So I got discipled on my pride because God can only use a humble heart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When we get resistant, then you know what happens? God takes away that gift and that promise. We've got to be a people that always say, "Man, God, I want to remain humble. Raise me up. My relation with you is number one. Let me humble myself." And who lifts us up? God, not ourselves. And so today, you know, as I go through some of these practicals here, I hope that it will help us. Proverbs chapter 1. This is just my entry here. Proverbs 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Then we'll get into it. Proverbs chapter 1. I do want to thank the brothers here and the organizing team for putting this together. You guys have done such a fantastic job. And I do want to commend you guys because I must say, you know, I didn't come to the one last year, but this one right here, I'm thinking, man alive, you know, this has definitely been very, very inspiring. Very, very inspiring. It's been great. You know, Proverbs 1. Are we there?
Yeah.
In verse 5, it says, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." It says you want to be wise as a leader, isn't that right? What does it say? It says listen and add to their learning. That's why God gave us what? 2 ears and 1 mouth. So we can grow and listen, isn't that right? But sometimes we act as if we have what? 1 ear and 2 mouths. And that's not a good place to be, and we call it pride. 2 years. And so, you know, as we are here today, guys, if there's anything I can impress on you, please listen. Be humble. Listen. Let the wise listen and add to their what? Learning. Independence is an enemy of anybody who wants to grow in the kingdom of God. You know, some points, right? You know, Jesus in the Bible. One of the things is in Matthew 28, we see Jesus in the Bible calling his disciples. And he says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." There is a need for leadership, and God always wants to multiply his leaders. And I want to thank some of you younger guys here who are here today that is our leadership. I thought this room was going to be packed with everybody, but that's okay. That's okay. But I pray that what you want to do today is something noble that you are doing today that you want to become a leader. God wants leadership. God wants to multiply from a small mustard seed. He wants to multiply leadership so that this nation can be what? Can be evangelized.
Yes.
You know, when I look at some of us on staff right here, we are 50-year-old men. Mohan turned 50 yesterday. I turned 50 last year. Malcolm turned 50 last year. Charles Eliko 50 this year. I'm kind of thinking, we're getting up. You're always going to be raising up leaders.
Yes.
And it's good to see the Ians, the Johns, you know, the Phil, you know, good to see Carolina, Uwanis, the Fumis, everybody here, Fulola, everybody in here, but you kind of think, man, we are getting old right here. Our bones are not creaking, the passion ain't gone, but we need some younger ones. You know what I'm saying? You want to get tired of seeing our faces up here. We need some fresh blood up there. God's heart is that we multiply. God's heart is that we grow. A mustard seed grows. With the little faith God has given in your heart, God wants you to grow. Isn't that right? With the little that you have, you've got to multiply it. You know, in Matthew 13, what does it say? It says, he who has will be given more. Isn't that right? But it says, if you don't use it, you lose it. So we've got to be growing in our faith and not just be stagnant. We have got to be growing with our faith. Jesus' heart and vision, you know, you've got to have a vision for your life. Because without vision, people perish. Yeah. What is your vision today? You know, Jesus, one man, 2,000. Isn't that right? I see the youth in this room here. You know, I'm thinking, man alive, man, this is, could you imagine unleashing what we saw yesterday in that room there? All of them preaching the gospel. We'll turn this city upside down.
Come on.
Yeah. When I saw the singing, I'm kind of thinking, where did that talent come from? Mm-hmm. Those are the hearts of the disciples that we have.
Yes.
You know, parable of the sower. Brothers and sisters, when our hearts are good, we multiply ourselves. When our hearts are good, what do? We multiply ourselves. You know, let me say through some practicals right here. What will help us to be the leaders that we need to be? What will help us? Look at John chapter 1. John 1. Let's get into the practicals.
Come on, practicals. Bring out the list.
Who said I had a list? Okay, I'm going to rebel right now. No, just kidding. I don't have it. I've got a list. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I'm finding it hard finding John. I drank some coffee yesterday and today and there. That's an excuse. John 1 verse 40. Let's get into it. What will multiply leaders? You understand? Number 1, inspiration and belief. You've got to say, I've got to get an inspiration. Where does inspiration come from? It comes from God. Isn't that right? It comes from your relationship with God. In John 1 verse 40, look at what the Bible says right here. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You would be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. Isn't that right? There was a vision. Jesus inspired his disciples. I want to talk to the older Christians first. I'll talk to the younger ones. Yeah. John 1, 40 to 42. That's okay. To some of us older disciples, here, let me just speak to you right here, because I want to get practical right here. How many of us disciple people here? How many of us disciple people? Great. Jesus inspired his people, people with great ability. Isn't that right? All leaders need inspiration. I need to be inspired. Isn't that right? I need to be inspiring the Johns. I need to be inspiring the Robs and the Adwoks in the Southeast. You need to be inspiring people around you in your ministry. It's not just about you. It is not just, it's about people. The ministry is about people. Isn't that right? The good news is, somebody is giving you confidence. Who are you giving confidence to?
Right, right.
Jesus saw the rock in Peter. Peter was this guy, impetuous, out of it, didn't know what it was doing, but he says, and now you will be called Peter. He saw a rock. What do you see in people? God calls us. Not what we are, but who we can become. That's why you're here today. And I think, you know, deep down, in your heart, you're going to say, man, I want to be inspired, but you've got to inspire somebody else. When I was a young Christian, our bread and butter was, you're not a Bible Talk assistant, you've got to raise up a zealot. Who are you raising up? You become a Bible Talk leader, who is the Bible Talk assistant and zealot that you're raising up? It was like, okay, the Great Commission. In our mindset, you're always raising people up, because it's not just about me, it's about the kingdom, it's about God's dream. And some of us older leaders right here, if you don't have anybody you're raising up, you're going to say, let me find myself a Timothy. It is not about us. It is not about us. You know, as we talk about it, it is not about us. It's about taking the eyes off yourself. As I grow, I'm going to pour my life into somebody else. One of the lessons here. You know, it's not, you know, if people are believed in, they rise up. Many of you are here because somebody believed in you. You are here because somebody has believed in you. And 80% of the ministry is encouragement. Jesus took his guys. One of these guys messed up. Judas, who betrayed him. Matthew. All those guys. These guys were messed up. If we put them in the room, they would say, nah. But somebody has stretched themselves. They have believed in you. That's why you're here today. Now, for some of us older disciples, I respect you. Because you've been around. You know what I'm saying? You've been through your struggles. But God is a God of second chances.
Yes.
Whether you're young, whether you're old, God is a God of second chances. Brothers and sisters, inspiration comes from God. How are your quiet times? Bible says very early in the morning, what did you just do? Hustle and bustle. They say, come, no. Jesus went away and he was prayed. John 15, remain in the vine. If your walk with God is shallow, what are you going to pass on to somebody else? If you're not walking or learning, how are the eyes of your heart going to really be open? Isn't that right? When you're sitting there every morning, I really say, man, God, you know, and it starts from a love for God. You love God, you will not burn out. Isn't that right? Then you pass on that passion. It comes naturally. You're not switching it on, switching it off. It's there, and then what happens, it becomes a part of you. How is your relationship with God? How is it? How is your relationship with God this morning? Is it full of emotion? Is it full of affection? Do you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of emotion and affection. But you know, when that is there for God, God raises that person up. If I was to talk to Esty and John about emotion and affection right now, that would be a problem. They were doing the play yesterday and Johnny's there with the ring. I'm kind of thinking, man, here we go again. With the ring, but even in the skits, I'm saying, haven't they had enough of each other already? No, just kidding. Amen. I'm a little bit worried here because Esty is sitting next to your brother John. Are you guys okay? Don't want to get distracted. But yeah, Molly is sitting next to Fumi. Luke chapter 6.
Speak with the Bible.
Yeah, bro, I'm going to speak with the Bible. Luke chapter 6. Identify. Let me just put a caveat right here. Before you can identify people to raise up, before you can raise up anyone or raise up yourself, you've got to be raising up yourself. First, you know, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Sorry, 1 Corinthians 4. Yeah. I ran ahead of myself there. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Because, you know, you want to grow, you know, my feeling is right now, and I'm going to get into some points on discipline for every single one of us right here, but I just feel like there's got to be an immutable heart that is there. Before you can raise up, you must be raising up yourself. Ask yourself, am I growing? Isn't that right? Am I growing? You know, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Are we there? Look at verse 14. The Bible says, I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to what? Imitate me. For this reason, I'm sending to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. Isn't that right? So, as much as we're inspiring each other, inspiration, we are identifying people in our ranks that are willing to imitate. It's heart to heart. It's kissing each other's hearts. Now, what did Paul say here? It says, therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I'm sending to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will do what? Remind you. Isn't that right? Who do you imitate? When people see you, whose heart do they see? Now, I'm not saying we become robots. Isn't that right? But it says, he will remind you of my way of life. You will understand that right there. He will remind you of my way of life. I think sometimes, and I've done this at times, sometimes there's somebody who's pouring their heart into me. We don't want to become clones, but I imitate people's hearts. So when I preach, they'll say, man, bro, you're kind of preaching like that, bro, right there. You understand? Not because I want to, but because I want their hearts. Because sometimes, we've lost this whole sense of discipline and imitation. And for us to rise up and be who we need to be, we've got to imitate. Who are you imitating? Who are you imitating? In Philemon, just to write this down as a reference, Philemon 12, it says, Onesimus, who is my very heart. Identify. I'm speaking to some of our Bible leaders here. Raising up needs to be specific. You cannot raise up haphazardly. Have a plan. Isn't that right? Specific things in mind you can help them with. Which I'm going to a little bit, studying the Bible, sitting in studies with them. You raise people up. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of us in discipling have a discipling partner? Or get regular discipling times? Does anybody want to help me what I mean by regular discipling times? I'm not talking about being in a group.
Every week I get with Mohan. One-on-one.
Every week you get with Mohan. One-on-one, isn't that right? And I get discipled. How many of us have weekly discipling times here? Weekly. Very, very good. I'm not talking about, sometimes it might not happen. Here's my definition of discipling. Discipling is an outdoor sport. What I mean is this. It's not you saying, writing down the questions and saying, once a week, you get there, feed me. Here's my question. On the phone. John will tell you this. I know that I'm kind of a full-on guy. John knows we don't wait to see till there's an appointment. Isn't that right? I see John. Hey, we get into it. We encourage each other. But sometimes on the phone, there is discipling going on. Even if it's going to take half an hour to 45 minutes because it's an outdoor sport. Yeah. People's hearts, there's a window where hearts get hardened. Yeah. So if you're waiting for that 1 week appointment, man, why are you going to give your heart? Because the spirit moves every single time. It's an outdoor sport. That's one thing I've learned. I disciple as I go. Appointments? Amen. Do you understand? If there's something crucial, let's talk about it. If you can wait, let it wait. But if you can't wait, on the phone. Praise God for mobile phones. And Skype. Do you see the mindset in terms of, because I know that if I don't have an impact in the lives of guys that God has put under my care, Satan is there and Satan will influence them. Yeah. And pride corrodes, and so you've got to be in there all the time with the learning spirits. Yeah. And I appreciate me and John's relationship. John, if I do things wrong, John will pick it up. Well, I think you're being too hard. Okay. So. And John is in there. But you know one thing? That is why people grow.
Yes.
I've seen John grow.
Yes.
I've seen Rob Grow, I've seen Adro Grow, these are guys in the Southeast. I've seen most of these guys go. Why? Because I really believe that if people are in my care, I have a duty to make sure they do awesome in God.
Amen.
I want you guys to get this heart and pass this down to other people. If you are here today, as we identify, first point is inspiration. The point I'm talking about, identifying people. You want to be a leader? First question you need to ask yourself, can I follow? Can I follow? Because many times what happens is this. I want to be a leader.
Yeah.
And then somebody challenges you on something obvious. It could be your dressing. Amen?
Yeah.
It could be personal hygiene, brothers. Amen. That's what I mean. Shirt, you know what I'm saying? These are crisp, but iron the trousers, you go in on the dates, shirts are not creased, you know what I'm saying? You understand? You don't just take out a shirt and leave the cover for 10 months squashed. Some cycling going on there. Shoes not polished. Number one, can you follow? If you cannot take advice, then you cannot be a good leader. Can they be followed? Can I be followed? I'm going to be 51 years old this year. I'm a man sitting on authority. I get discipled. But one of the disciples, we're open about everything. I haven't arrived yet. I'm a minister in the church. Been around for a long time. I still get my heart discipled because I want to be my best for God. A lot of people have said that discipling is a dirty word. I tell you today, discipling is a word that has kept the church going, will always keep the church going, and it's a word that will evangelize this nation. Call it mentoring, call it support, call it any name you want to. It works for me. I've been in the kingdom since 1985. It works. It will continue to work. Amen. And I know we've all had good experiences by the group, but we've got to get in there and disciple the hearts.
Amen. Amen.
Point number three, key questions here. Can they follow? Can they be followed? Can they lead? There is a difference between leading and giving orders. There's a difference between what? Leading and what? And giving orders. You know what I'm saying right here? You know, what am I talking about here? I'm talking about support. Support. Everybody needs support. Isn't that right? I need support. You need support. Give them support. Making them feel valued. Tell them why. You've heard me say this before. Show them how. Walk them through it. Who are you walking with? Who are you walking with? Walking with somebody takes a lot of effort. It takes energy. You understand? But you've got to walk with people. It can't just be, let's have a discipline time. So how are you today? You know, you have your notebook out. You haven't really prayed about it. And then they say, come. And then you sit down there, like a counselor, or what do you call those guys? Shrinks. Sitting in the lunch chair. You've got to get into the heart. We disciple sin. At every single stage, there's got to be change when we talk about discipling. Brothers and sisters, when I talk about support, discipling is crucial. Now, if you're not in a discipling relationship today, you go back to your church, you knock on somebody's door, I am going to hold on to your hand. Or your bell bottoms, isn't that right? I'm going to hold on to your jeggings until I get a regular discipling time. Because not just because I want to lead, but because I want to make it to heaven.
Yeah.
What is discipling? Why is discipling so crucial? You disciple people's hearts to God, not yourself. Talk about God often and who He is. Guys, some of you might be thinking, practicals here and there, but that's how to raise people's hearts up, isn't that right? And how awesome He is and great, how great this God is. Tell them, it's a relationship with God that sustains leaders, not techniques.
Yeah.
And remember here, I know that there's talent, but I haven't focused on talent yet. It's the heart first, because sometimes we can focus on talent.
Yeah.
David had heart, but he was also a talented guy, and I think the danger is sometimes we can focus on talent. Amen. Talent comes from God, but a relationship with God, nobody can take away. It gives you longevity as a leader in God's church. Talent, you can burn out with talent. We've got a lot of talent even in the world. We call them politicians. And they're not doing a very good job at it. Heart for God. Heart for God. Disciples will respond to a great God. Isn't that right? In a great way. They will give their best when you call them together. You're not doing this for me. You are doing this for God.
Yes.
Find out about their needs. For those of us who are discipling people, find out about their home life, how they're doing with their job. I've heard about some brothers having great victories where a brother got in here with a brother and said, I'm going to help you with your finances. He's paid up all of his debts. I respect that. I like that. And I hear some of this stuff with the central ministry and what ESR, I'm kind of thinking, that is what discipling is. You're discipling the whole person. Not just to go out there and share their faith, even though that is important. First, you disciple them to love God. Isn't that right?
Yes.
You disciple them, but you disciple them holistically. The whole life. The whole life. Find out about their needs. Their Bible study. Their prayer life. You know, from time to time, do you understand? Teach them what they need. Even if it means that for 10 minutes, you're going to have some scriptures. Teach them what they need. Because sometimes the disciple can be all about talking and sitting with tea and having insipid conversations. I'm talking about the weather when there are major sins to be spoken about. Discipline is about change. Leaders say, did you see what we're talking about right here?
Yeah.
And then you have a church that is sharp on its feet,
yeah.
Ready to go for battle because you're talking about the very things that matter.
Yeah.
Oh. Hi, John. How's the weather? How's this? Oh, bro, you're doing awesome. See you next week.
No.
Oh, bro. Let's talk about that. You weren't giving in that meeting the other day. Is there anything wrong with that? You know, we've kind of been talking about this. Can we step it up a little bit? You know what I'm saying? Got to get feeling tired. You know, let's get into it. Can we do better? Next time you get together, I don't go to another topic. How have you done with the last one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'm sorry, Steve, for mentioning John. I apologize. It takes time for people to change. Don't get overwhelmed. It takes time for people to change something significant. Isn't that right? Character changes for growth take time. All of us here have got to be growing disciples. Growing disciples. You understand? Discipline is not troubleshooting. For example, as our kids were growing up, you understand, we had Temi and Tosin. We don't just feed Temi or Tosin when they were hungry. You know what I'm saying? Or when there was a problem. And I think sometimes our mindset of leaders is that we disciple people only when there is a problem. Let's get angry. I'm struggling with my quiet time. Only when they're struggling. No, you've got, even when they're doing well, the intensity has still got to be there.
Yeah.
Do you want to be a leader? You still want to be a leader?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask Charlie. You still want to be a leader? Charlie, how was that sounding? When I said, do you want to be a leader? I wasn't getting enough feedback from the crowd.
It needs to be louder.
Charlie! Feeding and training, not just when there is a problem. You understand? Help them, teach them to fulfill their full potential. You've got to get, I'm talking about holistic. So, number one, even though disciple is crucial, disciple their heart to God, but secondly, being a great disciple yourself. Can you see here? Most of you want to be leaders. You're going to be a great disciple. What do I mean by that? If I'm going to be able to disciple a John or some of the other brothers, I've got to be a great disciple myself, i.e. my quiet times, my Bible study, when I'm tired, emotions, you know, stood before the church, I'm confessing my sin. They've got to see the things that are rumbling in my heart. You know, and I've got to grow in that. You understand? Know, I've got to grow in that. You know, I'm not just saying that it's going to be legalistic. I mean, when John was getting his ring for SD, that was a discipline time. H.S. Samuel, Oxford Street, from one store to the other. John said, you know, I've got to get these earrings here. And I'm kind of thinking, okay, here we go again. This one is good. They don't have the size. Can we go back to the, okay, John, there we go again. I've got to get out the earrings, kind of, you know. I said, okay, here we go. Well, you know, I've got to go back, pay the deposit. That was our deep time. And we're chatting as we go.
Yeah.
We're still chatting. No, just chatting. Wedding, everything, you know, the way you need to be. Oh, yeah, John. There was still some discipline going on, isn't that right? Even though we're looking for the ring, there was still some spiritual about the wedding, about leadership, about how to be in the man. Oh, I tell you guys, it's an outdoor sport. If you can just take this away. Discipline is an outdoor sport.
Yeah.
And then you say, how come people are inspiring? Because they want it, isn't that right? And you want it yourself.
Yes.
Example of support. Wanting to play your part. Sharing your leader's burdens. Isn't that right? As a young disciple, you know, if you want to be a leader right now, go up to you and say, can I assist you in this Bible talk? For some of you young leaders here, do you assist in a Bible talk? You know what a Bible talk assistant is? In terms of there's a Bible talk leader, and then you just go and say, can I kind of assist you? Anything else you want to do, let me be your right-hand person and help you in the Bible discussion.
Yeah.
That's a Bible talk assistant. You know, go back to you and say, I want to do more. Initiate your heart. Initiate yourself. For those of you who want to grow, because some of you right here, you've been around for a long time. You're talented people. You're great people. Go back. Give your heart and just say, here am I. I just want to be the best that I can be for God. Because if you're not giving, what happens is that you hide, even what you have, the zeal and the passion you have, is going to die away.
Right.
Every Christian is called to serve.
Yes.
First and foremost. Yes. Every Christian is called to serve. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
You know, desiring to be a friend and support. First of all, you've got to be a friend. You desire just to be a friend. You've got to be a great disciple yourself. Don't let them do all of the talking. You know, you go for a disciple and say, I did this as a young disciple, and the brothers came, so how was your day? Oh, day was good. Oh, quiet times, you know, struggled this week. How's Bible study? Great. So how about you? Yeah, I'm okay. I can open my mouth. Well, how's your day too? How's the family? You don't just go there and just say, feed me. And 45 minutes is gone. Isn't that right? And all they've done is kind of poorly put into your mouth. And you haven't said a single word. It is more blessed to give than to
receive.
That's how you grow. Let them see the definition of repentance in their life, in your life. As they see you change and grow in a positive way. You know what? When you're a great disciple yourself, it helps with loyalty and unity. And the spirits can work in a great way. You know, brothers and sisters, I appreciate my relationship with Mohan. When I was a young disciple, Mohan discipled me.
Wow.
When I moved back from the United States, he discipled me as a young disciple. Really helped me out of town. And my first Bible talk that I led on the parable of the sower, I remember Mohan walking me through it.
Yeah.
My first communion in Regent Street, I remember Mohan walking me through it. And over the years, people have walked with me. The Henry Crits, the Mike Tollifers, the Mike Fontenos, people have walked with me. And what they've passed down to me is all I'm doing. And something I don't do perfectly, but that's what I want to pass down to you guys. You've got to have somebody walk with you. I think we've got to get rid of the culture of independence. And sometimes independence can creep into our hearts. You've got to want it. We're not saying, you know, you guys have done a great job. It's not as if we've come in here and said, take over. Ian, all these brothers feel, you've done a great job. John, you understand? But at the same time, there's got to be advice. Many advisors makes victory sure. You understand? I get advice about my marriage. In discipline, I just really decided, I guess, who to marry. You know, John and I were chatting, you know, when John was out there, all over the place, you know what I'm saying? Who to marry, you know, no, dating. Brother, I said, go for it, just try friendship right there, girlfriend. I get advice. Free one out there. When you want to date, you date somebody that's going to take you to heaven. First and foremost, important advice. I'm just, not in the looks, I'm just in the spirit, just wanted to say that. You date somebody who will get you to heaven. Doesn't need to look like Ken and Barbie. Somebody that will get you to heaven. Understand that, guys? Because you guys are going to be dating. Should I go out on dates? Be give. You know, some practicals right here. Just to help us. I've spoken about identify. You know, that's what I'm saying. There are many people around us. Jesus identified leaders. He, you know, Jesus was around people that he wanted to. The first point was inspiration. Then you identify the people around you. Sometimes some people are harder to disciple than others. You stick with them. Practicals, what do I look for in a leader? What do we look for as a church? First and foremost with me, I never look for talent first. Talent is there, and I respect the talent. I always look for heart for God. Always a heart for God. Relationship with God. Isn't that right? Personal walk with God. Do they love God? Is it a natural outflow of their hearts? Look at 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 16. In a relationship with God, point number two, hearts, not talents. The men in the Bible were some stinking fishermen, uneducated, unschooled, ordinary men. It was their hearts for God that turned the world upside down. It wasn't their talent, it was their hearts.
Yes.
And brothers and sisters, please, can I plead with you guys? Many of you are talented in this
salvation. When I saw something last night oozing out, I said I could pay to have come to that salvation yesterday. I would have paid. I said, this is the church. This is awesome. It's fantastic. But guys, how is your heart? Judas betrayed Jesus. If he had repented, he would be the other side of the cross. Peter messed up, but because of his repentant heart, saw the other side of the cross. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Guard your heart, because it is the wellspring of life. Point number one, relationship with God. Point number two, heart, not talent. We all know that scripture in 1 Samuel 16. Let's quickly look at that. 1 Samuel 16. I hope this is helping us.
Yes.
I hope it is. 1 Samuel 16. You know, I've been around the church for a long time, and sometimes, even as older leaders, sometimes we can get cynical and negative. And I share this openly, because there's sometimes when my wife will say, you know, I think you're getting too negative right here. But I need to hear that with a humble heart so I can change.
Yeah.
And I still want to keep on changing. I'll be an inspiration to people. But the day I say I don't want input, I don't want advice, man, do you understand? I am cooking my own goose. Even though goose meat is good, I don't want to become a goose. Heart. You know, 1 Samuel 16. Let's get it right there, brothers and sisters. In verse 5, are we there? Samuel replied, yes, in peace, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the what? At the heart. People can be quirked. They might have their quirks in their eyes. They might not be your city person, but everybody needs to be given a chance for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like, you understand, attracts life. That is true. Isn't that right? But I would always take the guy with a heart for God, because I know longevity, they will last in the kingdom of God for years and years and years and years and years. And it's always a temptation that when talent is there, there's heart. What a great combination. Isn't that right? But I think sometimes what can happen with leaders is that we see the person has a nice suit, they look sharp, they speak well. Come on, guys. But we've been patient. People have been very patient with me. I've had my ups and downs. But you've got to be patient with people. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day. We see Joseph, Peter, and John 21 as a reference. You know, great patience, careful instruction. Let them fall down. Don't try and fix everything. I like the skit that was done yesterday. Great skit that shows. I think sometimes we want to fix everything for people that we disciple. And what happens is they get our big text. Isn't that right? And they keep on running. You know, so after some time, you've got to let them grow up. Make their mistakes, learn their lesson, and come back. Thanks, Abraham and Sarah, for the speakers. Amen. Point number four, teach them how to think.
I'm running through this right now. My time is very long.
What time do I need to finish? Okay, sorry about that, guys. Okay, teach them how to think.
Okay.
Wisdom, you've got to ask questions. Keep on asking questions. Isn't that right? Analyze this. Go do what I'm telling you. It's not about that. It's for problems, seeking out solutions. Do you understand? Sometimes, yeah, there's a stage of telling me what to do, but let them go out there and you know, tell them, you know, brother, what do you think? Because a lot of times when people ask questions and I have the answer, I'll say, what do you think? Because I'm teaching them how to
think.
There's a stage for spoon feeding, isn't that right? For a young person. But as we get mature, I'll say, what do you think? And when they give me the answer, I'll say, well, have you thought about this? This? Because I think sometimes as mature disciples, it's good to ask questions, but you know, just you know, we want to see where you are coming from also. Isn't that right? Point number five, allow the Spirit to guide you. Allow the Spirit to guide you. I really believe, you know, the Spirit of God has really got to guide us in ways, shapes, or form, you understand, that will help us to be all that we need to be. You know, today, I really believe God wants us to be leaders that are great. He wants us to be a people that we understand. Do you understand? I've spoken about inspiration. Your inspiration will come from the platform, and I spoke about your relationship with God. Yeah. It is not so much about your talents. It's all about your heart. You know, heart and talent is good. Yeah. But we need people with hearts. When you have a combination of great talents and great hearts, what a great combination. And you do great things for God. Do you understand? Why? Because if you go with talent can burn out and people don't last. With the heart for God and talent, there is longevity and you're here for the long haul. Isn't that right? Identify people in your ministry. There's some people even in your ministries now. Some of you have come out here today. I believe there are many more. Tap them on the shoulder. Isn't that right? You know, I think I've seen some of this. I love your heart for God. Have you ever thought about being a leader? They might say, no, well, why don't you come assist me in the mountain? Suppose, brothers and sisters, discipling is needed. If you are not in a regular discipling relationship right now, go back to your ministry and find yourself a discipler.
Yeah.
Find, get the regular disciples, because if you want to be a leader, you need the consistent inputs. You need to be humble. You need to be open with your life. You know what I'm saying? And allow God to work in your heart in ways that He has not worked in your life before. Discipling is crucial. And to disciple somebody, you've got to be a great disciple yourself. Let's get great at being discipled. You understand? Not looking at the faults or the imperfections around us. People will say it's the church. No, look at yourself first. You be a great disciple and be part of the solution rather than be part of the problem. Because your relationship with God needs to be on fire, guys. Relationship with God, passion, emotion, affection. Take time out, sacrifice. Go out there, pray. Give your heart, and then you'll be on fire for God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Heart, not talent. God sees your heart. He doesn't see the talent first. David was a talented guy. What did God see? He saw the heart first.
Right.
Patient with people, guys. Let's be patient with people. Do you understand? Teach them how to think. This is an awesome group of guys right here. I believe the UK will be evangelized, you understand? But
well,
let us have hearts, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Eyes that hear, isn't that right? Eyes that see, ears that hear. 2 ears, isn't that right? One mouth, ask the questions. Ask. We have something that the world does not have. Secrets of the kingdom. Let's go out there. Let's have a look for God. And to God be the glory. Amen.